Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good Monday evening, ladies and gentlemen, and friends and family, and we're so glad you tuned in tonight to this week's version of Raising Expectations. And thanks for the text and response from last week's program that we got this week. Thanks for some of those answers to prayer. It's exciting to see what God's doing in your life. We sure know He's working in our life. Isn't it great to belong to Him? As you all know, we are blood-bought, born-again believers. We think and believe in our heart and know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross for our sins, and He's coming again someday. But what we always love to say is, in the meantime, we know someone who knows where we're going each and every day, and He's only a prayer away. So that's our prayer for you, that He'll raise your expectations, whatever you're facing. We've got a great guest tonight who really had to have the faith and fortitude to trust and to watch God work in his life. We're going to bring him on here in just a second. But as we begin tonight, we're going to go just a little bit quicker tonight. And if I start to talk a little bit slower tonight, it's because I got up early. I'm going to be a great uncle tonight, today. It could be any minute, somewhere up in Oregon. So I'm waiting to see what that is. But I have been a great uncle. So it's exciting, to see what that means. But in any event, so if I fall asleep, don't worry. Won't do it, coach. I know you're coming on, so don't worry. Right now, I want to start real quickly and let you meet everybody again. Every week, somebody says, now, who is that again? So I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to the West Coast. I'm going to go to Dr. Paul Hall, who is our scribe. He writes down the notes for each program. He's in Lompoc, California, and he is a very, very special man, and they're going to bring him up. There you are. You'll see him come up. There he comes. There he is. Dr. Paul, there is wow, that's a cool looking bookcase. He's upstaging us again. I love it. Check it out. What are you going to do? So Paul and I have been friends for over 54, 55 years, something like that. And both of us are only 42, so that works out really well. But moving right along, Paul is there. And he's a pastor, retired pastor, a Bible teacher. And he's a friend to everybody. He's one of those people who makes a difference in your life when you meet him because the love of Christ flows from him back to you. So Paul is there, and Paul and I are going to go together now to the far south, and the south part of the East Coast, but it's south. It really is there in Dalton, Georgia. Two of our best friends in the whole wide world, Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, and they're located there. When they bring them up, they're located in Dalton, Georgia, and Stephanie, as you know, she's the one on the left. You already guessed that. But Stephanie is the one who's a renowned health and wellness coach. She also has a webpage you've got to look up, Live Your Life Out Loud. And she helps women all the time with biblical principles to help them know who they are and who God is and what He can do in their life to help them and encourage them. She's a great encourager. She's a modern day female Zig Ziglar, and she will help you a lot when you get on that site and see what she could do to help you. And speaking of that, one she has helped a lot, and he helps all of us, is her husband. These two are a dynamic couple for Christ, and that is Dr. Craig Thayer, and he's the one on the right. And Craig is a surgeon. I knew you knew that, but there's no test, don't worry. But in any event, Craig is really known for what he has done in helping people through medicine. He's a coach. He's a great dad. The two of them have a lovely family. And the neat thing here, too, is that Craig is an author for the first time. He's a beginning author with a first book, and it's so exciting. And that book is called Saved. And if you go to our site and just kind of skim around with us, bbsradio.com/raising expectations, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. So you'll find there that her page is there. It's called Live Life Out Loud, Live Your Life Out Loud, and his book, Saved. They're both there on our website, and the whole story is right there, and you'll want to make sure that you see that, because she has stories. My daughter follows her specifically. My daughter's a mother about, don't tell my daughter's age, huh? Don't do that. She might be watching, but anyway, she's watching Stephanie every day, kind of follows through the things that she says, and she shares them actually with the ladies in her church. She leads, and it's a major part in the singing team there, on her church, a pretty large church there. Real proud of her. She does a lot of good things that way, but in any event, she follows that also. And the book that Tank, I got another response today. Somebody shared with me, actually it was Friday, said how much they appreciate Saved and they loved it. And so we'll be showing that to you. Just go to our website. It's right there and it says Saved. Right above it's my book. You've been looking at that for quite a while. And that book, as you know, is called Legitimate Faith. That's the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And it's going to tell you hopefully how the faith that God changed the world with and took lives, and they took the stand for Christ, no matter what they were facing. And that's what I want to do with my life. And I know you do with yours. It, the only thing that matters, if you live your life trying to do everything else for everybody and everything, and it's not all about Christ to help everybody, you've just spun your wheels. You know, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Something my dear mother taught me when I was a little boy, just like your mothers, as we thought about them yesterday, and I never forgot that. So remember that as you go through life that way. And going through life that way, now the three of us are going to make a big circle and circle back, as we said, through Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and make our way into East Texas. We're flying along there, and we're going to end up in McKinney, the great city of McKinney. It's greater because our favorite pastor in the state of Texas is right there, and that is Ron Greer. And Ron knows our guest today. In fact, our guest today, you're going to know, just loves and appreciates Ron, and they've been friends for a long time. So Ron has brought one of his very good friends, called me up. I was so blessed talking to you, friend. Thanks, Ron, for sharing him with us tonight. We're going to have a wonderful time. Yeah, Ron's there. Ron in the bookcase. Somebody even texted. I know you're not going to believe this, but it's true. I'll find the text. Ron, they text it. Is his last name Bookcase? I said, no, it's Greer. Ron Greer. You may be getting a text from somebody because I gave them the right address. So you want to know that before they come alive to you that way. So this is a group of people you're going to learn to love, and they're going to grow in your life. They're very, very special. They bless my life incredibly because they love the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you and I do. So our guest today is Steve McConkie. I remembered that name when Ron told me. And when I talked to him on the phone, boy, all the lights started popping on, just like Ron probably knew they would, because I'm a little bit older than him. But he is the president of Four Winds, a worldwide sports ministry. We're thrilled to have him with us tonight. He has worked through 10 Olympics as an Olympic coach. He is a great cross-country runner. He started the United States of America National Track and Field Coach. He was a U.S. national champion that way. After 1992, Four Winds, he works with athletes on all teams. He graduated with honors from Western Kentucky University, Master of Public Health, Minnesota State University, Bachelor's in Community Health. He's a minister headquartered in Eugene. It's been in Dallas-Fort Worth, and I even remember that when I was back there. I didn't even realize it until he told me. And then Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Madison, Wisconsin. So Steve has a testimony that's really something. So I'm going to turn this over. We're going to bring him in, and we want to give you what's called a round of applause. Steve, you've never had this much applause in your life. It goes around and around. And everybody loves it. We got rid of the 20th Century Fox and turned to that because it was much better. Welcome to Raising Expectations, Steve. And we're looking forward to having you share a little of your testimony. And then maybe just everybody loves to interact with you. And hopefully we'll bless you. I know you're going to bless us.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm here in Northwest Wisconsin and in the middle of nowhere. I can walk out the door and probably within 300 feet, there's a black bear. So, but we spend a lot of time in Madison, and As a matter of fact, we did a lot of Olympic work. And I remember way in different parts of the United States, I'd hear this name, Ron Greer, in Madison, Wisconsin, taking on the fire department and all the woke agenda in Madison, Wisconsin. It always registered me with me. And then as the Lord had it, I went to school there and dropped out because of drugs and alcohol, but then got a master's in public health. And we were searching a place to put our ministry. And Madison, Wisconsin was the last place that I ever wanted to go. Nothing but problems in Madison, Wisconsin. So we took a trip out to Los Angeles, Colorado Springs, Flagstaff, Arizona, and I got back, and I knew that God did not want us to put our ministry there. So I started praying, and God said, go to Madison, Wisconsin over time, and I resisted it. So after Ron left, we spent 15 years in Madison, Wisconsin, and they tried to get rid of me too. So Ron is, I look up to Ron and know that he really took it on. I understand exactly what he did. As a matter of fact, I just recently went over a lot of the cases that he dealt with. And I'd really admire Ron for taking it on and staying focused on what God had him to do.
Amen. Oh, thank you, brother. You're too kind.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Ron. Amen.
God bought the rear up though, man. He knew who to choose.
Yeah, I was back at that time he was a pioneer, and we think of pioneers way back in the Oregon trails and all this, but he actually took on Tammy Baldwin, and he tried to win the Senate, and now Tammy Baldwin's being taken on again, and she just recently took $450,000 to give to transgenders here in the state of Wisconsin out of the $1.2 trillion stimulus bill. And that's the bad news. But the good news is we got to challenge her. So Ron tried to do it, and now we got to finish it this year, and hopefully she gets out of office.
Hey, we'll be praying for that one.
Yeah. Tell us about your wife and your ministry. The two of you together, I think, huh, Ron? They both been ministering some together a long time.
Yes, my wife Liz. So we were married in 1980, and then 1981. Then I coached at Western Kentucky University. We had a son. He was born in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And then I've got two other kids. But my son, believe it or not, is among the number one gun dealers in the world. And that's pretty amazing that he came out of very humble circumstances. And he's a very kind-hearted person. And it's just a miracle that he did that. He had to sell worms to buy stuff as a kid, So we were not rich, but God always provided. And he's taken care of us after a master's degree in public health. The Lord was very clear that he wanted me in the full-time ministry, ministering to Olympic athletes, and that's what we did.
So, Steve, share a little bit about your testimony. When did you come to know the Lord and how? I think they find it interesting.
Well, as a straight-A student, I was a straight-A student in high school, and all of a sudden, I was going to go into pre-medical school. I was going to go to Madison, Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin to go to med school. Mm. And for some reason, obviously I wasn't a Christian. I needed the Lord, but I turned to, as a scientist, I remembered Scientific American magazines, a straight-A student. So I went to pre-medicine in Madison. But before that, I'd partied for 4 months, smoking pot, drinking, and that kind of thing. And it was just, my life was empty. And I went to Madison, and I was still getting good grades, but all of a sudden one day I woke up and I just did not want to live anymore. Mm. It was like the bottom fell out. I wasn't not a Christian. Tried to read the New Testament back in those days and didn't understand it. Smoking pot in my dorm room in Madison, Wisconsin. People would come in there and start witnessing to me, Romans 5:8, and still my favorite verse, but God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, he died for us in the midst of pot smoke. And even going to parties, and non-Christians would tell me, you need the Lord. Even the dope dealers didn't want to hang around me after a while. But one day I woke up and I wanted to commit suicide. And I looked out the sixth door window and I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to end it. I'm miserable. I was a straight A student. And now I'm having a, you know, I still got good grades, but one day I woke up and I was having a hard time adding 2 + 2. And that bothered me. So I walked around the campus at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you know, back in the 70s, Hare Krishna and all kinds of weird things. Mm-hmm. And I went, so I was walking around thinking, man, I just want to end it all. And I got back, somehow I went to the Wisconsin Memorial Union and a guy was handing out the Gospel of John. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was, but all I know is people, he's handing out the Bible and people were avoiding him as like his part in the Red Sea. And I just went right up to him. I grabbed that book of John and I read it. And I got to my dorm room and I read that thing and I cried out to God, God, I don't know where you are, who you are. Help me. I need help. And he did, but I didn't become a Christian until 2 years later. I got in the New Age movement after that. But then I was at the University of Wisconsin Superior, went back to school, and I picked up a Bible on, it was a Gideon Bible. Picked it up and started reading it, and I got saved very shortly afterwards.
Praise God.
And the rest, you know, how God could use me, I have no idea. Yes.
And how many years in ministry now?
Well, we started, I got my master's degree in 1981, and I was going to go into pre-medicine. I got straight A's in all my sciences. The hard scientist, anatomy and physiology, medical and all this stuff, ready to go into med school. I was just one course short from going into med school, guaranteed to go to med school. And I decided, I got saved. And one day I don't go by voices or, you know, whatever, or I'm very careful with that, but God started speaking to me. He said, why do you want to become a doctor? And I started thinking, well, I can make a lot of money and I could be famous. And I never forget it. God told me, he said, well, that's not the reason I want you to do this. And I decided that it wasn't for me. And instead, I loved track and field. Then I went and coached Western Kentucky, where I was going through this. And then, one thing led to another. I became the head coach of Athletes in Action. Then Lay Witnesses for Christ, and then Four Winds Christian Athletics had a team from 82 to 92. I was U.S. National Club Coach, United States Track and Field. And now we do ministry work and stand up for Christian athletes. But it's a miracle on how God, I can't figure out, you know, because I grew up in the back room of a bar here in Northwest Wisconsin. My parents did the best they could, you know, and I remember when I was doing drugs, there was one day I was on a campus, University of Wisconsin-Madison, and God told me, he says, you keep doing this, you're going to be dead. And it scared me. And people say, well, how did God speak to you? It was not like an audible voice. But inside, he had talked to me and said, you know, you can't be going this direction. You're going to kill yourself. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. But all I know is God's grace is sufficient. He saved me. And I desire to follow him. And, you know, and how I went from there to here. I really don't know, but I know God's with us.
Amen. Amen. One interesting fact that y'all might not know, I want to ask you about. Now, you were a track coach, right? For those years?
Yes.
So what was your connection to track? And do you still participate?
Yes. Yeah, so what happened in, you know, in order to quit smoking, I smoked a pack of cigarettes from 5th grade to 10th grade. And one in 10th grade, my grades were average. And one day I said, you know, I'm just going to start running. So in order to quit smoking, I just started running. So I ran 70,000 miles from 1971 to 2016, 4 miles a day until that time. I still run, but I, you know, not as much as I did then. Maybe I need to run more. And, then I coached at Western Kentucky, and I just desire to be around Olympic athletes, and so here we are going on our many years.
So you're still running at 60 what?
Well, I'm 68, and I'm still at it, and, you know, I try to, you know, what I've been doing lately is I record work because we in the background here, you can't see it because the sun's coming through. But we just finished kind of a house that I've been working on this winter 20-foot edition.
Beautiful edition.
If you look up, you'll see a lot of knotty pine northern look.
Beautiful, beautiful edition.
So we really, yes, nice edition, and my wife is happy.
Win-win.
That's good. That's good.
So now, yeah. So you're not running daily, but you're still running intermittently. How far are you going?
Yeah,
now?
So I'll start running again, but I've been spending a lot of time building and fixing the houses up. I was up to 200 pounds. I got a little bit of high blood pressure going, and you know, doctors told me I need. So I've been, you know, medically doing that, and you know, and the thing is, I want to start running again. But I was up some weight, and I had to lose a little bit of weight, you know, for the blood pressure. And I decided I want to get back into running again at 68. You're never too old to run.
Oh, don't say that.
I really enjoy it, but it's
now I feel guilty.
Whoops.
I feel guilty now.
Whoops. Yeah. Oops. Craig, you have a thought?
You know, track and field is such a huge sport. Did you just do coaching for running or all of it? Or what part of it did you coach?
Well, when I mostly concentrated on distance running. So I was a distance runner. At one time, I was able to run 5 minutes and something per mile for 20 miles straight. I'd love to do one of those now, and I can't. So, you know, and I just enjoyed it. You know, it was my God at certain times, and God had to humble me a little bit, you know, just to make sure that the priorities are right. So, but when I was U.S. National Club coach, we had long jumpers, high jumpers, sprinters, and then a lot of times, even though we had the Christian Track Club, we worked with some very prominent gold medalists through the years, and we still consistently work with those gold medalists. As a matter of fact, in a month, I go out to the United States Olympic Trials in Eugene, Oregon. So we'll have an opportunity to minister to many Olympic athletes. And the bottom line is we've seen athletes that are very successful gold medalists and still have, without Christ, it means, you know, it's good to have those things, but without the Lord, it means nothing. And as I get older, I'm finding out no matter about all the accomplishments you person can have, all the famous people I've had pictures with, all the way from Evander Holyfield witnessing, all the way to Carl Lewis, 9 gold medals and silver, and the many gold medalists, all the athletes that we've had ranked in the world in the United States, you know, and all this. It doesn't matter. Only thing that matters is when we give an account to Christ about the opportunities. And the only regrets I really have at 68 is the many missed opportunities, maybe because of just what I would call anxiety or just, you know, taking it for granted. But fortunately, even in those missed opportunities, we have God's grace and He's sufficient to forgive us. And, you know, we just got to keep treading on and doing the best we can and learn as we go. I'm 68 and I'm learning something new every day.
Amen.
And the biggest thing I'm learning is without Christ, we're nothing.
Amen. That's amen. So what are some of the issues that you've been championing the last couple few years? I want to talk a little bit about that, especially with the Olympic Committee and all the new, agenda going on.
Yeah, right.
So I was in 2003, I remember it was in the fall of 2003, and back then I wasn't big on the internet, and I didn't understand the internet. Obviously, I've had to learn about the internet to minister to athletes, et cetera. But in the Duluth paper in Minnesota, you know, it's close to Wisconsin, and I was reading on, I don't know, way back, it was a little paragraph, 3 or 4 paragraphs said, transgenders are going to be allowed in the Olympics. Then it listed that they're going to have surgeries and that they're going to have to do the hormone therapy. And I thought, this can't be right. And for some reason, then I called all the International Olympic Committee people in the United States. I called the United States Olympic Committee in Colorado. And I wasn't complaining. I was very nice. But eventually they put me into their Olympic lawyer. And after that, the very last thing the Olympic lawyer, the correspondence I had, said, nothing will ever become of this. And remember too, in 1976, I sent Drake relays with Bruce Jenner's first wife and 10 other people as he demolished a record in Des Moines and then eventually went on to win the 1976 gold medal. So when that was coming out, I was the first one to kind of take that on, even though he's not influencing kids, and say that this is not a moral thing that we should be doing or promoting.
What do you think about Title IX? You mentioned that when we talked a little, kind of where's that going? Do you think it's going to make it through this battle?
And I think Title IX, you know, my daughter was a college basketball player, almost scored 1,000 points. So I'm all for Title IX, helping women in, back in the 70s. And it's a good thing, you know, and a lot of people didn't like it, but I think it's actually advanced women. But, you know, Joe Biden, you know, obviously, you know, we need to be praying for our government officials. But at the same time, Joe Biden, Trump started reversing finances to schools that were promoting transgender athletes, collegiate and high school. And the first hour that Joe Biden was in office, he reversed everything Trump did. Then we got a memo four weeks ago, that he is going to change Title IX May 1st. It's in effect now. And so what happens is if a guy wants to compete as a girl on high school teams or shower with the girls at any school, that if you complain and deny the person that opportunity, then in Title IX, you will be investigated, charged, and, you know, almost like a crime, or taking away your funding because you're not promoting transgenders. And, you know, I don't hate anybody, but I just feel we need to protect our kids and protect as many people as we can. And that's one of my goals, is to preach the gospel, but also at the same time, we've got to, you know, I know that this world's not our home. We're not going to make the United States a theocracy. We're not going to take it over, but we have to protect our kids. And that's where I'm at. And we've had over 320 wide world interviews, mostly through American Family Radio in the last 6 years. So there's something new every week, but God has given us a great voice. And I just want to protect kids. And, you know, if adults, Jenner did what he did and he's not influencing kids, I'm morally opposed to it. But to my surprise, he's not forcing it on kids. And that's where I'm at, is as long as they're not forcing it on kids.
Yeah. Anybody have a question? Anybody? Tank? How about Mom? You got a question? Steph? It's frustrating, huh?
I have thoughts. I just, you know, one of our daughters is a D1 athlete. And actually, my aunt is on the court of arbitration for the International Olympic Committee. And I remember, she's an attorney, and I remember talking with her about this probably 10 years ago. And I know the data out there, even any male that were to transition, even at the very lowest, is still 20 times higher testosterone level than any female. So even if it was just in an adult sphere, they are not equivalent. Men are so much stronger than women. And it's just all these things that have been fought for to have sports for women, which already do not get the same visibility, funding. I mean, you know, you can look at like what a professional athlete for one sport is paid versus another, and if a male or a female, the male will have much higher, you know, living. It's just the following that they have, and how this will just completely destroy sports for women and little girls. Then you start talking about the safety issues. I'm horrified that this is allowed or anyone thinks that this is a good idea.
Yeah. Right.
And I think there should be another big need, right? If you want to compete and you're neither of what you originally started as, and you're messing with your hormone levels and all of that, which would be doping, which is what most of the cases are that my aunt gets on the court of arbitration for the International Olympic Committee, they're for doping. You should be in your own category.
Yeah.
And if you trace the history back in 2003, so what it was, they had to have surgical procedures plus hormonal treatment. Then in the latter years, just only hormonal treatment. And here's the good news. We kept fighting. And now at the international level, Olympic level, track and field, swimming, bicycling, rugby, and powerlifting will not allow transgenders in the Olympics. So we've had 24 states reverse it. I was the top testifier in Wisconsin. There's 25 organizations against me. Two organizations were for me. And I testified, and I was the top testifier. I was heckled the whole time. The Senate and the Assembly passed anti-transgender athlete bills. But also I told them in March 2022, and I went to Washington, D.C. and all the offices in Madison and told them to attach the dangers of the transitioning to it. In other words, the chemicals they use to transition, plus the surgeries, and really tell people that these people are killing themselves by doing these procedures. And they did that, so they passed more laws. Obviously, in Wisconsin, the governor vetoed them. Mm-hmm. However, we're dealing in high schools and colleges. We're losing ground. And it doesn't help have a president that's pushing this and governors that are pushing this on kids. And it's shameful. And what we got to do is really protect our kids and create lawsuits and say enough.
Mm. Yes, amen. What do you think, Ron? Mm.
it knows where I stand on it. as far as Christians are concerned, what would be your opinion on how we can make the biggest impact? And because part of my concern is the silence of the church. I'm looking for the voices out there. I find people yes. like you. I mean, so-called parachurch ministries. But where are the pastors?
Amen.
What do you think?
And there's a price to pay. And I can tell you things. When we started, we lived day to day, and God's really blessed us and taken care of us. But for example, some of our passes have been taken away. Mm-hmm. People, I've had stalkers spend 40 to 50 hours a week. Mm-hmm. I went to a meeting and had letter after letter after letter against me, threats. You know, and what I really believe is we're living in a day of delusion. Mm-hmm. And I think there's very committed Christians out there. Not everybody can do what Ron, you did, or I'm doing. Let's face it, not everybody's called to do that. That's a special right. calling. Mm-hmm. However, people should support you, pray for you, and that's what's lacking in the American church. And I believe we're facing some real difficult times in the United States. Mm-hmm. I feel we're going to have a civil war, economic collapse, or the second coming, or all three. Mm. We're very close.
All right.
Yeah. So we may be before Hitler, you look at the Weimar Republic, and I'm not trying to be negative because in my heart, I got a lot of peace. Mm. And, it's not just all doom and gloom. God's doing work in our hearts.
Right.
And I feel the strength of the Lord. But right. I see the church, the criticism. In other words, your gifting, Ron, or other people's gifting, it may not be the same.
Right.
But they should never stand in your way. I know stories have been told in Madison where you tried to collect signatures in front of the biggest church in Madison. They wouldn't let you do it, right? No, that may no. could be a rumor. But
Ron, you
see, I know this, and even people are saying that to the day, and I know it to be true. And what I'm saying is it is a very difficult time. We're not going to make a theocracy out of the United States.
Right. Right.
There's a lot of good God-given things in the United States, but we got to stand up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, that's part of one of my biggest concerns is the lack of the visibility and the lack of the voice of the church in the public square. It's the transgender movement, the whole alphabet, thing. Period. It's a counter anti-God thing that Satan does, and that's what he does. But God has given his power and his spirit to his people to actually to stand as a standard in the midst of all this. Because again, that you have folk who a large majority of a large number of folks now who are just ignorant and don't know and get sucked in by Satan. because there's no voice out there saying, hey, this is not the way. And that's so one of my criticisms is the lack of visibility, the lack of voice out there. I'm thinking I'm on the same page you are. I have a lot of angst about what's coming here shortly for us. And things of the last few weeks and months have kind of confirmed that. But you mentioned the Weimar Republic. If you see the collapse of the Weimar Republic, if you read the history of the church in Germany, there were a whole lot of folk who were very active. God was doing some great things there. They were just a small group of folk. The good thing is they maintain their faith and maintain their fervor in the midst of that. They paid a dear price, but they still maintain. So I maintain there's still a lot of Christians in the United States who are willing to take the backlash, willing to take take the heat. My criticism is that there's not enough prominent leaders out being the voice saying, hey, this is the way, and that's contrary to what God has called us to. That's what I want to see.
Ron, that's a good point. And I think Stephanie mentioned something like this with Tank. I think God's raising up a new army of young leaders that are as bold as what you're saying. Yeah. I'm trying to think of the name of it, Ron, and I'm blank for a minute. Get up at 3. But anyway, they are standing up in the trench for what it means. Young conservatives who believe in Christ, have faith in Christ, they're believers. And they're standing up everywhere.
Part of Turning Point USA. There's a Christian arm of there, and then you have there. I think that's the one hope I do have.
Yeah,
because they're growing. I think I mentioned before here the last sort of gathering they had here in the Dallas area. Yeah. I think there was something like 3,000 or 4,000 high schoolers there.
Yeah,
and then the college group was somewhere around 8,000 or 9,000, I think. That's the one hope I do have. What bothers me is the lack of pulpit voices. Outside the church.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Another one's the NFL. I mean, look what the devil tried to do with the NFL back in 2016. And I mean, I tell you right now, I could go team to team with the major teams. Just a minute, we'll start with the Dallas Cowboys. But anyway, we'll start with the 49ers. But anyway, there are many, many athletes now that I don't know whether they're quoting their mama when they were growing up or who they are now, but they are taking strong stances for a personal relationship and trusting in God. And they don't have anything in their life, they say, that they would have if it wasn't or their faith in Christ and what he has done in their lives. And it's popping up all over the league. Yeah. That new quarterback at Houston, a young kid, and from Ohio State and other places, Strahan, I guess. And, of course, Brock Purdy and others. But it's not just a few. It's going down through the ranks. And you begin to see it in all the spring training camps and everything going in now. They just don't say anything, a lot of the other people, but they're vocal about it. So I think y'all are right. We need to each do like Steve's saying. We need to be ready to say something. We don't need to get in the face, but we need to stand strong in the trench for what we believe and let it be known clearly what we believe and why we believe it. Then you can do what you want with it. But if the Lord were to split the heavens today, in this moment, I want him to find me standing on the promises and open the word and preaching the truth and loving and caring about people. But Ron has carried this flag, as you know, Steve, a long time. And one of the things we love about Ron, is church has got to be strong, like you're saying. But like you were saying, it's important. Paul, have you got a thought on that? I think I see the wheels turning up there, Ron. You said
first of all, Steve, thanks for teaching me some things about Ron Greer. That was really insightful.
Look his name up sometime, Madison, Wisconsin. You'll get it.
Yeah.
Google it.
Yeah,
I looked it up last week again because in the 90s, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, the way you were
Ron Deere was up in northern Wisconsin. I heard his name over and over. Taking on Madison, Wisconsin. It was in the news, I gotta look this up. Then all of a sudden, go Ron.
I'll sure look it up. You can bet on that.
There you go, Ron.
Stephen, you're ministering to the athletes. What kind of response are you finding? Do they tend to be open to the word? Given your experience, the things you've been through, as they get to know you and know of you, do you find that it's kind of fertile soil? Are they open to what you're sharing?
And that's what's weird. I get very little rejection. And because, you know, here's my take. I had Rasmussen do a poll. I said, go do a poll and figure out who's for transgender athletes. And so about a month later, they did a poll and they found out 70% of Americans are against transgender athletes competing as women. And so, you know, you can't go on polls or natural men. Not everybody's a Christian, but I just got back from the Drake Relays and everybody I talk to supports me. Even though they try to silence me, you know, people support. And even some of the Democrats support what I do. You know, but we got to keep Christ prominent. If you go on my website, I talk about knowing Christ. But at the same time, you know, I've had some world-class athletes chew me out. One gold medalist person from the United States chewed me out for quite a long time with another gold medalist, future gold medalist, looking on the side, having a good laugh, you know, which is okay. I was laughing too after a while. So there's persecution. But at the same time, I think the media, the people in charge of the sports, the people in universities, they're so afraid. So what I tell athletes is, individual athletes, if you're competing, probably don't take a stand. Just go out and work hard. But where are the former athletes, the former NFL stars that made their money? You know, I was a friend with Reggie White. We did meetings with Reggie White with Lay Witnesses for Christ when I was in Dallas, Texas, and he was at my meeting at Bethel University. And Reggie White, you know, and he is a good guy. We call him the gentle giant. He had hold, remember the biggest thing, he had a little baby and had hold it in the palm of his hand. And he loved what, and joyful. And the thing is, he wasn't perfect, you know what I mean, but he was a good guy. And I really, he went to Madison. He took on the Madison establishment. Started speaking at the Capitol and he said some things about homosexuality. And I'm saying what he said wasn't like some of the things he's saying, but you know what? He was just speaking truth and they basically banned him. And he is going to go on the NFL after retirement and be this big announcer. And poor Reggie, then he got conditioned in his lungs and then died. And I really feel the stress of all that really affected him. And, you know, I could be wrong, you know, could have just been Reggie. Was a good guy, and he's a hero, and we need to get out and preach the gospel. But what I'm trying to say is, not everybody that's on here tonight, this may not be your gifting like Ron and myself. It's a very hard gifting. And I read Ron posts on Facebook, and he's not changed. He's still telling people the truth. But that may not be what you do, but it's good. You got him on this program. Plus, what's really important, you pray for him. But this is not your, it may not be your bag to do what he's doing, but you're not standing in his way. And that's where the church, it may not be the individual person that cannot do what he does or that we do, but, and you may not, no matter what you do, you can't do it. It's not your gifting, but encourage and pray for support. And that's what I'm talking about. And if the church did that, this would reverse very quickly.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I would say the only solid truth is in a book called the Bible.
Amen.
In thousands of years.
Amen.
And everything else, especially these days, is potentially fake news. So, other thing just to add, because it's interesting. So, recent study shows that this tolerance, which I consider a sin, and I'm right there with you, Ron, with churches, maybe the same problem that parents are currently having. So they've shown that kids with anxiety disorders, with ADHD, transgenderism, the one where they flare up and they want to fight back, those kids, if they undergo behavioral modification and psychotherapy and all the therapeutic stuff, meds, versus a population of kids that don't get nothing, they end up more depressed, anxious, and sicker than they were if you left them alone.
Wow.
Recent study.
Yeah.
The other is,
yeah,
And part of that's believed that the more they're concentrating it, the more they're reminded to go over what was, I fell, oh, that's a huge trauma. I mean, these parents today have become, I don't want to say spineless, but they're like, I guarantee you, they'll never say, get up and walk it off. Mm, or yeah. Hey, go punch the bully in the face.
Right.
They won't leave you. They'll leave you alone after that, right? Oh my God, did I just really say that? I may have some listeners that don't like what I just said, but yeah. It's the truth. That's human behavior. We are animalistic. We're competitive. We get on football fields and we try to kill each other. So or our goal. So we have battle sports, and so. But it's interesting that in transgenderism, they think. If you look at all transgender and you take away the ones that have a lot of mental comorbidities, the suicide is the same as normal kids that age. Mm-hmm. The myth of, oh my God, it's higher in transgenders. Yes, if they have a bunch of psychiatric problems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they feel that because we're tolerating it, meaning, oh, it's okay to be that way, to feel that way. And this is in the teenage group where you actually have some perception of your sexuality. When you're less than that, you don't. That's a parental problem. Because the other myth is that it's not about dad not in the house, because transgenderism is equally distributed amongst all populations, whether they have a father in the house or don't.
Yeah,
or father's not there, meaning he's been replaced and is now like...
It's almost all white, middle, upper class that are transgenders.
It seems that way.
No.
Yeah, interesting. What do you think
it does? All I know is this.
Yeah. What do you think it does to us very quickly? That's such a good point, Tank, about you're starting these kids as little as they are. By the way, water polo is the scariest sport in the whole world. But anyway, what do you think about guys that coaches, all the leagues? Nobody ever wins. Nobody ever loses. Everybody gets an award, a certificate, because everybody gets to play and there's no winners or losers. What does that do then?
As a coach, if you never teach anybody when they fall down that they can get up on their own, the smallest little bit of a piece of adversity that you do, and they never learn to face adversity and get up,
right?
Then they're afraid of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're a helicopter parent, I mean, they trip, you're there, you respond, medic.
Exactly. There's a track and field star, and I can't remember their name, Steve, but anyway, in the LA Olympics way back in 80, I guess, but you'd remember that, and tripped on a 880 or a mile or 10,000 meter. I don't remember what it was. It was a long one. They tripped, and they believed that they was tripped on purpose and got back up. You remember him, Tank?
I think it was Decker.
Yeah, he got up and came back and kept running and didn't quit and came back and won. And it was wild. And talk about not quitting. I bet you've had races like that, Steve, where you wanted to stop. Well, you win, you're out of gas, but you kept pushing and going. That's why you could run like 5-minute miles for 20 miles and keep going. That's amazing. I could drive that.
Me too.
Me too, yeah. But anyway, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have Steve back again on some of these things. And hey, thanks for sharing a mental perspective on that. I think we could do a show with you guys and just have you share some of that, because you're collecting new data on that. It's really important. And Steve, knowing what you've come through, your testimony, it's very, very important. And knowing there's one other person in the world that likes Ron is really neat. That's really bad. No, we love Ron. We really do. When you said, Ron, what you said to him, I got to look it up too. That's awesome. He gave his testimony once, and we first met Ron, had him on the show, and he just touched all our lives and continues to. Without the book, Casey's Dynamite, you know. So anyway, love you, man. So... Steph, we've got, can you say a word for us? This is something we bring in, Steve. It's real important. I let the smartest one in the room do it.
They elect me because they were all pastors and they've done this forever. So I got it. We are just so grateful that you guys come and hang out with us each week. Always wanting to bring glory to God and all of the conversation and just have interesting, relevant topics. And you can find out about everything that's going on with us at bbsradio.com /raisingexpectations. And right there at the top, you can see different ways that you can donate. And if you scroll down a little bit, you can contact Joe directly. If you want to do snail mail, if you just have a comment for him, if you need to know that Ron's last name is not the library, all of that you can find out there. And then if you keep scrolling down, you can get the different recordings of past shows. And if you continue scrolling, you can find out about each of us as co-hosts. And then there's Pastor Joe and Craig's books on there. And I wanted to just make sure that we give Steve an opportunity to share about his, oh, there's our website. I wanted to make sure, Steve, that you have an opportunity to share how people can get in contact with you and your ministry.
And that
yes, you can, you know, just, yeah, there it is. Fourwindsusa.com, the number four. Winds, WINDSUSA.com. And yep. And just keep praying for us and asking God to continue to guide us, protect us and protect our family, and continue to provide as we go out to Oregon. And thank you for this show. I'm really grateful that you had us on here tonight.
Oh, it's a blessing.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, Steve. Coaching is a thankless job, man, but you're there every morning.
And
next time you're doing three.
And thanks, Ron, for sharing such a good brother in Christ. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay. Let me have you back again. Talk a little bit more about Paul and Merrill and what they do at the ministry. And
I'll get back to you. It's great. Yeah. I think our time, our minutes went
away. A lot of other stuff, too. We can go over the.
Yes, a lot of stuff
we could talk about.
Right. Amen. Well, I'm going to get you back. I'll call you tomorrow.
And, you know, it's amazing. Yes.
I will call you.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'll be the one. When that thing lights up, I'll call you tomorrow. We'll reschedule and do some more.
Thank you.
Write those questions down again, Ron. That's great. That's great. Pretty good. All right, PG, love you, Paul.
And I'll work on lighting.
Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in tonight to your show, Raising Expectations. We're looking forward to what's coming. We got Jim Robbins coming from the International School of Politics. He'll be with us a couple of weeks telling us what's happening on the campuses. And we've got a couple of things all coming down the road. And we will, by his own words, hit Steve McConkie back with us again. And we'll share some more about what's happening. Amen. Thanks for tuning in tonight. God bless and keep you.
Yeah, love thank you.
We wish you the best. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, brother. Bless you, man.
God bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.